Welcome to another edition of the Clock In Talk. Clock In Talk or Clock In Talks? Come on.
No, there.
I've hosted this show 20 times now. I still don't know what the fucking thing's called. Welcome to the Clock In Talks podcast. It's me, Darren, standing in for Tez today after yet another fabulous week in the history of Arsenal Football Club. I'm a bit croaky today as well. I think the Christmas and New Year is just sort of starting to get to me, and I screamed my head off yesterday at the Emirates. So, Tony, I hope you're full of voice today. Welcome, mate.
Thanks for having me, and full of voice, yes. Cheery, not so much.
Joining us all the way from the Netherlands, where there's a lot of fireworks going off tonight, we have Liam. Good evening, Liam.
Good evening, Darren. Yeah, it's like a bit of a war zone over here.
Okay, well, let me start by asking you both this question. Solskjaer won his first fucking seven games. Mourinho won his first two or three. Ancelotti's won two at Everton. Pearson's just gone on a three-game winning run for Watford. There's this thing I've heard about called new manager bounce. Now, we've had two new managers in the last fucking 6 weeks. Tony, where's our fucking bounce?
I think our bounce has come in terms of performance. I think, despite the results, anyone can see that we're playing at a higher level than we were. And I think Bournemouth are unlucky not to win. Chelsea obviously are a very good side. And still, we was unlucky not to win. Spoiler for anyone that doesn't know the result. It's coming.
You think it's coming? Okay, Liam, do you agree with Tony in that statement that you've seen the bounce?
Yeah, it's got to be coming sooner or later, hasn't it? I mean, with Man United coming up on, when is it, what, in 2 days' time as we're recording? Maybe not. It's got to be coming soon, hasn't it? We've waited long enough.
I don't know. I mean, look, I'm always positive, but we've just our new manager bounce has been a draw away at a team that's now in the one of the three favourites to be relegated, and we've just lost at home to a team that's lost last five of their last seven games, including defeats at home to Bournemouth, Southampton, and West Ham United. So, you know, we can always say there's a little bit more energy in the side, but you know, we had two shots on target yesterday in a home game. So, is that bounce or is it just running around a bit more?
No, I think it's much better shape and structure, level of performance. We're not allowing 4 million shots against us a game like we were earlier in the season. You can see the defensive line is better drilled. There's a much better shape. I said I'm not worried.
You say there was... I'm just looking up. I just happen to have the stats out in front of me here. There were still quite a lot of shots against us, and we didn't have that many ourselves. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I mean, look, we sat very deep, and to be honest, I don't think they had a chance until they scored. So, again, it was like me and you both said earlier in the season when everyone was jumping on the, oh, we're conceding 35 shots a game or whatever it was. Quality of shots or quality of chances conceded for me is more important than the number. And so I don't know exactly what the number was, but yesterday. But in terms of you think gilt-edged chances, you go with us, the goal, Lacazette's bad touch, and then Kante nicks in, and then arguably Willock's one, say the three for us. You look at them, and obviously you go with both goals. And beyond that, was there a really chance where you thought he should have scored there? Abraham's header looks quite easy, but he's backing off so much he was never going to get any power on it. So I don't think we really gave up many chances. And we, as I said, we're playing a good side.
Well, a good side that's just lost five out of seven.
beat Tottenham 2-0, only lost away to City, I think.
Yeah, I mean, football's a freaky game, isn't it? But they've lost 5 out of 7, so they didn't exactly come to us full of confidence. They had double the amount of shots, pretty much, both on target and off. Double the amount of big chances, about a quarter more passes, double the amount of passes in the attacking third, almost 2.5-3 times the amount of crosses. Do you know what I mean? I'm trying to, I'm a very positive man, and I'm trying to play devil's advocate a little today because I don't want to complain about what we've seen. But it was Emery all over again, wasn't it? There was lots of promise, there was lots of things happening, and then, you know, we ran out of steam. We hardly touched the ball in the second half, didn't have a shot after we scored, you know, a shot on target after we scored. Liam, give me some positives, give me something to be happy about.
Well, it did feel different, though. There was this structure that Tony's talking about, and there was a... When we went 1-0 up, there's chance of a 1-0 to the Arsenal. 5 minutes later, Lacazette, if he has a better touch and he's in form, he might score. And there was something that sort of felt good. There was a performance, the players were working hard. There's definitely something there. It's just, when the chips are down, they're really down with us, aren't they, at the moment? And we just can't get anything going for us.
So we had that lineup. I mean, I will say, the thing that we haven't mentioned yet, we are absolutely crippled with injuries all in the same positions, aren't we? I mean, we're playing without left and right backs, and our centre forwards, our centre half, centre backs are falling like flies. So we see that lineup. There was only the one surprise, wasn't there, again, that Pepe didn't start in place of Nelson. Tony, what did you think when you saw that lineup?
Yeah, exactly that. The only position that was in any doubt for me, and I know Liam thinks slightly differently because we were talking in the WhatsApp group before the game, but for me, that's team, barring one person, picked itself.
Yeah, I mean, there's an argument. There was hardly anyone to come in. What did you think, Liam, on that side?
I could see why Nelson was playing more so when the game was actually on. You could see how hard he was working to help out Maitland-Niles. As far as the back line is concerned, what are you really meant to do when Socrates, Holding, Mustafi's not good enough, Mavropanos isn't good enough? That does leave you with the Chambers and Louise, doesn't it, really? I mean, what else is he meant to do? I don't like Guendouzi next to Torreira in the double pivot, but again, what's he meant to do? I don't think he's got really much option. It does sort of pick itself.
No one seems... I know it's in the questions letters if I talk about it, but hey, so much criticism for Guendouzi, and I really don't get it. I really, really don't get it. Let's have a look at the game. I mean, we've got that side. There's not much we can do to change it. We did start brightly, didn't we? Tony, atmosphere was fabulous at the stadium, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really good, and it was good throughout the game as well. And I always say a bad refereeing performance helps atmosphere.
Agreed.
And that is, look, we started off on the front foot, so I would say that the players, wrongly, but the players have to get the fans up for the game these days, which it never used to be, but that seems to be the way things are going now. And they started strongly, and they've done that, and then the bad refereeing started from probably about 4 minutes onwards. And that always helps an atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite obvious as well that even when they announced with, 15 minutes to go, that one of the main exits of the stadium was...
Yeah, I couldn't hear it. I just heard them kept saying it's closed. They were trying to give a reason. I still don't know what it was.
They just kept saying due to structural reasons, the Southbridge exiting the stadium is closed. Now, obviously, that you're basically talking about one of the main four ways out of the stadium is closed. And what would have happened at any time in the last 18 months is that everyone would have fucked off. You know, everyone would have gone, oh, fuck it, we're leaving. And everyone stayed pretty much. There were some people still leaving, which I just really can't understand in a game that was so finely poised. But, yeah, right the way through to the end. In fact, I know I'm jumping about a bit here, but when Ozil got substituted, it was like he'd just won the World Cup for us, you know? It was an incredible reception he got as he walked off the pitch, wasn't it?
Yeah, but, I mean, he was very good. And I always... I'm not saying I'm the guy that decides these things, but I would say if you're gonna criticise someone when they're bad, you've got to celebrate them in equal measure when they're good. And I think that's probably the first time in a long, long time we've seen that. I mean, the bloke that sits next to me said that, like, we were singing the Ozil song in full volume, and he went, oh, when was the last time we heard that? And the last time we heard that was when he weren't on the pitch, and we were sort of using it as a protest against Emery.
Yeah,
in terms of just using it for the sake of him being good, especially at home. I mean, away it's the same, whatever, but at home, the last time that rang around in support for him and not as a criticism of someone else was fucking God knows when.
Not sure I thought he was that great myself, but we did start well. 12 minutes in, we score. Something maybe off that we should have done a little bit more off the training field. I don't know if that's one of Arteta's. It was a back in the, I don't know when it, what year it would have been. It would have been 90s, Bolton, I guess. Adams. Yeah. It was Steve Bold at the front post would always get there and knock one onto the far post. We scored so many goals from it, and I've always been amazed that because Steve Bold is part of our club and our training regime, that we haven't done it more often, and it worked perfectly. Chambers gets on, knocks one over, and Aubameyang's alive to it and scores a great goal. Liam, great start, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I thought Chambers did really well to actually reach it, because it's that out-swinging corner, and it looked like from the TV angles that I've seen that he's kind of had to lean back to try and angle his neck in a way that he can flick it towards that back post. It was a good header, and then Aubameyang was alive to it, and thankfully, the Chelsea player kept him on side so that he could score, and it was actually allowed by VAR.
And then, Liam, I think you mentioned it earlier already. Then, you know, I think it was about the 15, 17 minute mark. Lacazette gets a chance. We break away. It's just a sort of 3-on-1 almost situation. And you think, right, we score here. The game's almost put to bed because we were so lively. And Lacazette, the ball just wouldn't sit down for him. And the chance has gone.
You're being too nice.
Yeah, I think an informed Lacazette scores that. I don't think he tries to bring it down. I think he hits it on the volley or half volley, whichever it was. Or Aubameyang might even score that. I thought it was a really good chance, but you could just see his confidence is so low. He has to take that touch, and that touch is poor. It's just not going for. I don't know where he's going to get a goal from at this point. I think I said as much on the last podcast.
Do you know, I had a look at his stats, because I'm... There's a lot of talk, a lot of the questions I saw about Lacazette and Aubameyang, who we should sell, who we should get in. And I don't think, you know, I think I mentioned on the last pod that the three of us did together, that I don't think Lacazette, you can blame him too much for being out of form, because he's hardly played. And he's been played, you know, in bit part games. And, you know, I think as a centre forward, you want to play every week to get your confidence and your touch going. But his record this year isn't too dissimilar from the previous years. He scores just under 1 in 2. It's a little bit less this year, but a goal will change that. And the thing that is slightly down this year is assists. Is his form that bad? Am I wrong in thinking that because he hasn't played, it's like he's coming through pre-season almost, he's played so little? Tony, you said that, you know, I'm being too fair.
Yeah, well, he was like, the ball wouldn't come down for him. It wouldn't come down for him because his touch was horrendous. So he didn't get it down, not it wouldn't come down for him. Also, his touch is that bad. You've got to have the instinct, especially he uses his body so well normally. If you take a bad touch, step across it, put your massive arse in the way, and if any defender tries to get it, it's a penalty. He doesn't have the foresight to do that. He just lets Kante come in and rob him. To be honest, at the moment, I really don't know what he's offering us. We're not building up off him. His touch has been pretty much horrendous for months, so you can't link play off him anyway. And this playing little, it's not really true. He was out for a few games, yeah, but he played all of August pretty much. Then he was out for a bit. Then he's come back in, and he's been in and out of the team, but that's due to form. He's literally given us nothing at the moment.
No, you say it's due to form. It's because the managers before have gone down the route of playing one up front and three behind, you know, and he's not been one of the three. He's played in the Europa League games, the Carling Cup games. Obviously, you know, I mean, that's got to upset him. And maybe, you know, I'm giving him too much credit that he should come through. But he hasn't played for that first team. He hasn't been in that setup. And he looks to me like he's anxious now. You know, a good striker.
He was only dropped from the first team as a striker once Freddie came in, and even Freddie started him there in his first two games, and he stunk the place out in both of them, Norwich away, and then he scored at Brighton at home, but he was horrendous. He was actually his worst performance of the lot. He scored the flick on from a corner, and then he got dropped at West Ham. So I think people are making excuses for him because they like him. If his name was Granit Xhaka or Mesut Ozil, the hate would be horrendous. People are making excuses for him because they like him. He's been shit. Yeah. There's no two ways about it. He has been terrible.
I had, well, the rest of them have been good. We've won one in fucking 13 games. You're the one who's now, you're highlighting Lacazette. You're the one who's saying he's the problem. I mean,
I'm not
surely.
Saying he's the problem. I'm saying he's been shit. See, this is the thing. Everyone wants to jump around and talk about everyone else. We're talking about Lacazette. Lacazette has been shit. You don't have to say, but what about him? But what about him? The fact is, Lacazette has been shit. And no one wants to say it because they like Lacazette.
I'm not sure. I've looked at lots of messages over the last 24 hours. No one seems to like Lacazette. Everyone seems to... He because Xhaka's not in the team, he is the new Xhaka.
No, he's not the new Xhaka. He's been shit, so people are saying he's shit, and now suddenly it's somehow become an agenda. It's not an agenda. He's been shit, so I'm saying he's been shit. Look, I want him to be good. I'd love him to be good. My front three at the start of the year would have been so easy to pick, and he would have been in it. At the moment, I literally don't see what he brings. His link-up's been shit. He can't score. What's he doing? He can't run. What job is he successfully doing at the moment?
Liam, are you in agreement with this on Lacazette?
Yeah, I mean, I'm autistic, so there's only one way for me to say it. He has been shit. I think for everyone's sake, he should go on the basis that A, he'll be happier somewhere else. B, we don't have this dilemma anymore, and we get a more balanced front three. I thought the most balanced front three or four that we've had was with Martinelli on the left wing against West Ham and Aubameyang up front. I think it just solves a problem if he goes.
So not much happened after that first half. We had those two chances. Am I missing anything? I know we were full of energy, but I can't think of many clear-cut chances that we made after that. But we were running the game. We were in the ascendancy.
And until they made the change, we was, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was it. We had one forced upon us, 23rd-minute Chambers. Another injury to a centre-half, and Mustafi comes on, filling us all with Christmas joy and hope. And they make a change, what was it, about 35 minutes in, Jorginho comes on, and the game starts to change at that point, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, before the game, and Liam will know this is not me after timing, I said my worry with the team that I pretty much knew he was going to pick is that Ozil's not going to pin Jorginho, which allows him to run the game. When I saw their lineup and that he wasn't started, I was delighted. He was my worry, literally 24 hours before the game. And then when he came on, he literally just controlled the game. They did have the extra man in midfield by bringing him on, which is probably, you can lay, I'm not going to, it's not a criticism of Arteta. I think he could have done something different. But Jorginho just absolutely ran the show from about 5 minutes after he came on the pitch until the final whistle.
See, I don't want to criticise Arteta at all. I'm going to be supporting him 100%. But for the sake of the podcast, can I not say, because people will be asking, why are you all being so nice? Arteta, his opposite number, Frank Lampard, made a tactical switch that changed the game. And we did nothing. Our manager did nothing to counter that. Nothing at all. He made quite indifferent substitutions in the game and quite late in the game. We didn't come out, you know, there was no half-time team talk that came us out buzzing. We actually went down a bit. Aren't those worrying things? If that was Emery, wouldn't we be really criticising him? If it was Freddie, wouldn't we be really, really criticising him that he didn't do anything to change a game? You know, we hardly touched the ball in the second half.
I mean, for me, I was sitting there seeing that the game was going wrong in front of my eyes. And the only thing I can say is, from my point of view, I was sitting there and I said to the people sitting next to me, this ain't working, but I don't know how I would change it. Obviously, I'm not a Premier League manager, and you'd hope that they could come up with an idea. I think the difference is, with other managers that you're saying we criticised, there was some obvious solutions that just weren't being used or were being used too late. I said, I was sitting there, and even up until the time, like just before they scored, I was still sitting there going, I'd change this, but to what? And you look at the bench and you think, well, you can't bring Smith Rowe on. Willock's not really going to make us more solid. And obviously he did come on at 1-0 in the end anyway. John Jules is never going to get anywhere near the pitch. Mavropanos, you don't want anywhere near the pitch. So you're looking at it and going, we need to change. But then looking at what's sitting next to him, and you're like, well, how the fuck do we do that?
Okay, so his options were limited, but when you've just said one player ran the pitch from 5 minutes after he got on, and we could all see that it was changing and nothing was going on, Liam, wouldn't maybe bringing on Willock or someone to man-mark Jorginho just to do that job? Maybe, you know, wasn't there an alternative to just sitting and watching the game? Eventually, we all, you know, we were watching that game hoping that we were going to hang on. for 40 minutes. Were you not disappointed that he didn't do anything to change a game that was obviously going against us?
Yeah, there were two things I was really expecting. The last 10 minutes of the first half, it went a bit downhill. So I thought, all right, get everyone in the half time. We're still 1-0 up. Let's see, you know, let's give the team talk. Let's get back on the front foot in the second half. That didn't really happen. So, okay, what substitutions are you going to make? When Willock came on, I thought we'd switch to 4-3-3 in the sort of Liverpool-esque style. With Torreira as your single man in front of the midfield and Willock and Guendouzi either side. But Willock stayed quite high up the pitch, or at least higher than Guendouzi and Torreira. So that didn't really change anything. I think it was a case of Willock came on for more of the same, but with extra legs. I thought Pepe might have come on for Lacazette a bit sooner because I thought Nelson was having a good game. So I didn't really want to see Nelson come off. But...
So isn't yeah, there... I mean, I know we've got injuries. I know that they're... But we did have Pepe on the side. We did have somebody with energy like Willock who could man-mark someone, a job that Ozil, we know, wasn't going to do. And yet there wasn't any changes. Should I be getting worried about this, Tony?
No, I mean, look, the game went wrong once Willock came on. So saying I'd bring him on for the energy, he came on at 1-0 and we lost 2-1.
No, Tony, I said bring him on to man-mark Jorginho. I didn't say bring him on to play him as a number 10 to push forward to score a goal.
The issue you've got is when you're under pressure and people don't appreciate it enough, you give Ozil the ball, he holds it for a few seconds, lets you get up the pitch, and then 99% of the time gives it to another Arsenal player, which relieves pressure. Yes, he isn't all action, and no, he's not going to follow people all over the pitch, but... he takes away defensive pressure so often.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
it's difficult to take him off the pitch. Okay, and it is exactly what happened. We took him off the pitch for more energy, and end up that the ball just came. Every time we got it, it came back within 3 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I
wasn't against the sub. I'm not criticising anyone, but it's very difficult when you just go, oh, naturally, someone is going to mark Jorginho better. Yes, they are, but if their first touch, they're going to be chasing the ball 30 yards and giving it straight back every time, which is what happened, then. Or they get too far ahead of the ball, which is also what happened, then you're going to be like, you're kind of chopping one hand off to feed the other.
Yeah, but we're winning again 1-0. The game's going against us. It obviously needed changing, and there wasn't any change.
No, but I agree, but I don't know what the change was, and I don't think Ozil was the right one, and I think that was shown by what happened after he went off.
All right, so you sort of so he didn't make a change, and then when he did, he made a bad one. Is that what you're saying?
He made one that was available and it didn't work. As I said, I don't know what the right... I can't say anything's right and wrong because I don't know what was right and wrong. As I said, I sat there for at least half hour saying this needs a change, but I don't know what I would change.
Do you think if Pep Guardiola would have been sitting there saying, right, Mikel, what should we do now? Or do you think he would have said, right, go and tell him to get warmed up?
We don't know. Look, we can speculate, but I don't know. With the options he had available, I don't know what change I would have made. So I can't criticise anyone else for it. If I was sitting here saying he should have done A, B and C, then I've got a criticism. But when I'm sitting here absolutely clueless, I can't criticise anyone else for not knowing what to do or not doing anything.
OK. So let's get on to where it all started to go wrong. We made those changes. And then Leno, who has been superb for us in the last 3-4 months, made a calamitous error. Came off his line to punch a ball that he got nowhere near, and someone's at the far post just to tap it in. Please, Liam, don't be too critical of our goalkeeper.
No, you kind of have to blame Leno because it's his fault.
No doubt.
But at the same time, I think he's seen that his side's been inviting this much pressure. He thinks, well, if I grab this ball from the air, I can hold on to it for a few seconds, just let everyone meander up the pitch a bit and just kill a bit of time. I think that's what he's
I would agree with you if he tried to catch up.
Yeah,
on
it was a punch.
Yeah.
I missed it on the TV and I've forgotten the... Yeah. I haven't wanted to watch it back.
To be fair, I just watched it before we started because I'm at the opposite end of the pitch to that, so it just looked like he came out for a cross and missed it, but I watched it again. He came out, he tried to punch it, he doesn't get to it, and at the time, I thought, you know, well, these things happen. I wasn't too critical when I was in the ground, but when I saw it on the television today, it was, you know, it was fairly obvious that it was a calamitous mistake. And you could see by his reaction how upset and how hurt he was, because I know it's in one of the questions later when they talk about how many mistakes he's made. He's made more mistakes than any other goalkeeper since 2018. He's also made more saves than any goalkeeper since 2018. You know what I mean? He's been that fucking busy being an Arsenal goalkeeper, and the mistakes have honestly come out of his game, haven't they? There's been, what, one this year compared to half a dozen last year when he first started. Tony, are you going to let him off, or am I going to have to...
No, I mean, all I will say is his punching technique is not very good. He runs... Well, I don't know if it's a strength thing, but he sprints at the ball. He always does it. And then when, if you connect, you get good distance. I don't know if he doesn't feel like he can get enough distance if he doesn't sprint at the ball. The problem with that is you have to time it perfectly. If he's not run at that ball yesterday and still tries to sprint it, still tries to punch it, even when he realises he's in trouble, he can stretch the other hand up. But the way he runs at the ball and springs at it, it's always going to cause him trouble if he doesn't connect. And look, he just massively misjudged it. It's a mistake that you can't dress it up any other way. But am I going to lynch him for it? No.
Good. And then with 4 minutes to go, 4 minutes of regular time to go, there was still another 7 minutes of added time to be added on, if I remember rightly. We make a change. Pepe comes on for Nelson.
Pepe was, I don't know if you saw, because you're looking directly at Dubois, Pepe was stripped to come on before they got the free kick for the first goal, and we held it off because we didn't want to make a defensive change when defending a free kick.
Yeah.
And obviously they've scored and they made the change straight after.
Yeah, I mean, the goal, I can't remember their last goal. It was just simple, wasn't it? It was just...
counter-attack.
They ran at us.
Far ahead of the ball. Mustafi backed up for no apparent reason.
It was Emery. It was Emery's defence.
Mustafi was on one leg.
Wasn't it Emery's and Wenger's defence? Just there was no change, was there? Somebody ran at us through the middle. They run, they bypass our central midfielders, Guendouzi and Torreira. No one stops them. Our centre-halves backpedal. They don't. That's their only action. And I'm not sure whether that's right or wrong. I'm not tactically astute. I see a lot of people say that Mustafi should have gone to the ball, but there were 3-on-2. So if he goes to the ball...
No, it wasn't. At the point when Mustafi turned around and run back, it was 2-on-1. So you go one front, one behind. Mustafi should have attacked the ball. If you get beat, foul him. If you get beat and you can't foul him, you're still 1-on-1 secure.
Yeah,
what he's done, he's allowed them time. And then Willian, who's very quick, and I can't remember who it was on the other side, Mount, I think, have joined the attack to make it 3-on-2, but had Mustafi and get... He actually went to and then shit himself and turned around. But with the bodies he had around him, he should have engaged.
Yeah, I just think that if you look... I mean, I did only look at it just before we started, and it was Mount one side, I think William the other, and they may not have reached him yet, but they are both hairing down, and they've obviously worked on that as a transition, Chelsea, you know, because they both were sprinting
at that's why you take him out. It's just a rank error. It really is. I can't dress it up in any other way. You said you engage, you hopefully win the ball. If not, you've got protection behind you. And you've got another protection of foul him and take the yellow card. He was one of the only players that weren't on the booking. Literally, I think there's 12 bookings. He was one of the ones that weren't. He does it all the time. I actually said to someone yesterday, I would love to see another team's player not shoot or pass the ball and see how far Mustafi would back off. I reckon he could make it into the upper tier.
Okay, but the fact that we've been doing that, and it's not just Mustafi.
It's a pet hate for a long time.
People have been running through us like that. Liam, are you, do you put it down at Mustafi's feet, or is there something we could have done to stop the counter-attack in the first place? You know, how did you see that winning goal?
Yeah, well, it sort of starts with Guendouzi missing the header altogether. He's sort of standing there waiting for the ball, but then it's nicked straight from him. I don't see how he loses the header, if honestly. I'd like to see more of a challenge at least. And then from there, like you said, they're hairing down the other end, and Guendouzi doesn't really... He sort of half jogs, half runs. Then Mustafi turns his back and keeps running, as we've covered. Saka doesn't have any more legs left in him because he's run his ass off all day, so can't intercept the pass. Luiz has to go out there and take himself out of position, and Mustafi's just stood static. So I put most of it down to Mustafi, but there's it's a chain of events.
So we forgive Saka, who's playing left back, for being out of position and not being out of Matty's runner. Same on the right hand side.
I think he's tried.
Sorry?
He's tried to reach it, but he just hasn't got anything left in him because he's run his arse off all day.
I just feel that you were going down the route of, you know, it's Mustafi, so he's a cunt. He's Xhaka. Well, you know, he's the original Xhaka, isn't he? He was the Xhaka before we destroyed his career, and now... You know, now he's out. Jack has become, you know, Mustafi number two, and now Jack is out of it. You know, we're now onto Lacazette. Aren't we talking today what we just criticised most Arsenal fans for doing on a regular basis?
No, I'm not hammering him. He's made a mistake, and I'm saying he's made a mistake. I think Lacazette was shit, so I said he's shit. I'm not saying they are shit players. They should never play for us again. I'm going to burn their shirts. I'm saying in them specific incidents, over the 90 minutes, Lacazette was shit. In that, I actually thought Mustafi had a good game up until that point. But in that instant, it is a huge mistake from him. There's a lot of difference between people going, oh, Xhaka's touched a football, boo, boo, he's shit, I hate him, fuck Xhaka.
So why is it Mustafi who's getting the blame and not Luis for coming forward and making that?
Because Mustafi went and then turned and then shit himself and ran backwards.
No, but the guy's running at them. Luis is the senior professional.
You're talking without knowledge. The way you're describing it, I know you've not seen it properly. Because Mustafi goes out and then runs back. He's halfway there. So you can't say, well, why did the guy 10 yards behind him not go? If you've got your centre-back partner 10 yards in front of you, you don't go, well, I'm going to sprint out, overtake him and go to the ball.
Yeah, maybe he sees a bigger picture than you and can see that the wingers are hairing down. He thinks, fuck, I'm not going to get there. No, but they just put it into space at the left or the right. That's all they do. If someone's running it...
He had the centre-back covering him, and then he had someone on the right. Again, you can't have seen it properly the way you're seeing it.
Okay. So, after that, we lose the game. Not much goes on. What have I missed from the game? There's the Jorginho should have been off the pitch, shouldn't he? Shouldn't have scored.
Should have been booked five times.
Yeah, I'm not sure how he remained on.
Five yellow card offences during the game. It was ridiculous.
It was a strange situation, wasn't it? Because the referees, it was that game where, like we were, Man City did to us, Chelsea were very, very good at stopping us. And the referee was booking them most of the time, or booking our players most of the time. And yet, when it happens again, it's another booking, and they just let it off, isn't it? Just, you know, not terrible refereeing, wasn't it? It was just terrible.
Well, literally, in the second half, he tried to do what he actually got the first booking for on Lacazette. He tried to do it to Nelson and missed. But the rule with breaking up play is intent, rather than the severity of the challenge. So the intent set should be a booking. He then done it someone else, I forget who it was, and missed again. No book, nothing, play on. Then got booked for the one on Lacazette. Then has an arm across Lacazette's face. Probably not enough for a booking on its own, but the foul's given. So on the totting up process, you go, well, maybe could be another one. Then does the obvious one that everyone's moaned about, the Guendouzi one, which is a booking on its own. And then if you're adding the totting up process, he's just had the one on Lacazette before. Then Torreira gets booked for the exact same thing that Jorginho has just done. And then after that, he had another foul over on the right wing. I think it was Pepe. I can't remember. Again, free kick given, no further action. So there's at least four standalone bookable offences and two other fouls on the totting up process. And there may have been other niggly fouls in between that I can't remember. But he literally could have had five yellow cards in the second half. And people are focusing on the big one because it is the obvious one. But there's just so many. It is just ridiculous refereeing. I actually came out of the game and I felt like personally cheated.
Don't you feel like that with VAR?
Yes.
I came out of the ground and I was looking on the WhatsApp group and on Twitter, and people were going on about the potential foul on Torreira for the goal. I don't think it is. It's one of them, if it's given, you've seen them given, but I don't think it's 100% a foul every time, if I'm honest.
I wasn't really thinking about it in our game. It was just another weekend of embarrassing
decisions. Oh, yeah, it was a joke. It was a pure joke, but I just think in our game, it didn't really... To be honest, if I'm completely honest, I probably think it was a penalty to them in the first half, and I think Guendouzi should have been sent off. And the foul, as I said, the Torreira one... seen them given, but I don't expect them to be given.
Yeah. All right, well, look, there was enough good performances, so let's do our 3-2-1s. For those who are new to the podcast, we basically pick out our man of the match, and we top that up over the course of a season, and it should give us a Clock End Talks Man of the Match award. 3 points, who do you give your... Liam, who do you give your 3 points to?
Trying to think of my ratings now. I think I gave it to Aubameyang. reason being is Saka's probably the weak spot in that back four, besides arguably the centre halves. And I thought Aubameyang did it, put in a real captain's performance of saying, no, I'm going to help my younger teenage teammate out here, and worked his ass off. But he still got himself in goal scoring opportunities. I think he had one very late in the half, first half, I mean. He put the potential assist on for Lacazette and scored the goal. So I thought he ran all day. I thought he did a really good job of helping Saka out defensively as well. So I gave him the 3 points.
Okay, 3 points. What about you, Tony?
Torreira, I thought it was his best game since Tottenham last year. Don't think he really put a foot wrong.
Yeah, fair point. My 3 points is going to David Luiz. I think it's a bit annoying that he had his best game because he was playing against his old club. But I thought David Luiz was absolutely immense yesterday. He won everything pretty much that he went for. Lots of last-ditch sliding tackles, kept the score sheet down, was good on the ball. But it's just annoying for me that it's taken until we play his old club that he's actually put in a performance. Why can't he do that every fucking week? 2 points, Liam.
I think I gave that to Torreira. Pretty similar reasons to Tony. I thought this was one of his best performances I've ever seen from him. To also have the energy to get around the pitch the way he does it for a full 90 minutes, the same way he did after Bournemouth about 3 days earlier, I thought that was terrific. I thought he was excellent.
Yeah, Tony?
David Luiz, for every reason you said.
Yeah, and I've gone Torreira for every reason you've said. Little loving then on those two. I thought it was Torreira's best game. So he had a great game at the week against Everton. He's followed it up. Excellent. 1 point, Liam?
The one was to Luiz. For exactly the same reasons you gave as well. I thought he was just absolutely immense today. Yeah. Yesterday.
Tony, 1 point.
To break the mould, Ozil. I just thought everything we'd done basically came through him. Their midfield didn't have a clue what was going on. He kept the ball pretty much at all times whilst going forward. I mean, I could just repeat what I said against him against Bournemouth, but I thought he was better this game than he was against Bournemouth.
Okay, Ozil doesn't make it for me. I'm going to go my 1 point. I've got a toss-up between Aubameyang and Ainsley Maitland-Niles. I thought Aubameyang worked harder than he's ever worked for the club, but in a way that irritated me a bit, like David Luiz, because it was almost like, well, why can't you do this every week? And I thought Ainsley Maitland-Niles was... I don't think he's a natural right-back, but he looked... I thought that was his best game at right-back for the club. Held the ball quite well. It was good going forward. In fact, I'm going to give me 1 point to Ainsley Maitland-Niles.
You know, I tend to have one that doesn't quite make my 3-2-1, but I think it's worthy of a mention, and it would have been Ainsley.
Yeah, OK, good.
Likewise.
Yeah. Right, I'm glad I could give him a point then. All right, well, anything else on the game that we want to talk about? We've talked about the crowd, we've talked about the referee, we've done our 3-2-1s. Anything I've missed?
No, I know with the questions there's going to be more licence to hammer some players on the hammer.
And I'm going to try and cheer up. And I really am playing devil's advocate. I hate moaning. I hate criticising this team. But I just don't want us to suddenly all go, oh, everything's all right. It's Arteta's. Let's give him some time. We're in an awful state at the moment. We've got a lot of injuries out there. And I think, you know, the fact that apart from one player, we're all pretty much picking the same side that he's picked for the last 2 weeks. His hands are tired at the moment.
And in all honesty, and it's just a slight defence, Nelson was played very well yesterday. So the one player I think we would all consider changing was nowhere near the problem.
Yeah, agreed. I thought Nelson was good as well. Yeah, yeah.
So on to questions.
Yeah, yeah, you're doing the questions, Tom. Good.
Yeah. So Vishad says, why didn't Arteta substitute Lacazette in the second half when he was clearly out of steam and not influencing the game? Watching Chelsea grow more and more dominant, would it have not helped to bring on Willock earlier for Lacazette to regain control in midfield, or bring on Pepe for Lacazette, pushing Nelson on the right and Aubameyang through the middle?
Yeah, I think either of those options. We don't know. As you said, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You're saying, you know, you didn't know what to do. I sort of am hoping that a manager who's managing Arsenal Football Club would know what to do. There were some options, but nothing worked. Liam, what do you think on those points?
Yeah, I thought Pepe would have come on earlier simply because Ozil went off. Just bring a bit of control into the game, and him and Nelson, if Lacazette was to come off for Pepe, I thought him and Nelson would have gained the yards up the pitch a bit better and just given us that bit more control.
What about you, Tony?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I wouldn't have brought him on for Nelson. I would have brought him on for Laka. And I'd literally, because we were struggling to hold the ball, obviously Ozil had gone off, I would have just booted the ball to the corner flag and let him have a race with Azpilicueta. One, he wins every time. And then you hold the ball that way rather than Ozil holding it for a couple of seconds and keeping it. If you chase it into the corner flag, it either goes too long and goes to their keeper. Okay, it's 100 yards away from your goal. Goes off for a throw on by the corner flag. You can get up the pitch and box him in. Or he keeps it on and you've got the ball 90 yards away from the goal. I literally would have probably played him through the middle. I think at that point, Aubameyang, not his pace had gone, but he'd run so much he didn't fancy the races into the corners. So I would have literally rang Pepe on through the middle and just hammered the ball towards the byline, to be honest. Next question is from Sushant. There's loads from him. First one, Lampard brought Jorginho on to dominate the midfield. Why has Arteta not asked Ozil to drop a bit deep to help our midfield? We were getting dominated and outnumbered in midfield 3-2. Or bring Willian on to strengthen our midfield at around the 60th minute. Sorry, that's an extra part of that question.
I think we've covered this, haven't we? I mean, it is a point that we've got to go over at some stage. You know, we've got a team that can't hold the ball. You know, we've got a team that he doesn't stick to anyone. Lacazette's our man for that, and he's not in the greatest of form, so he's just coming back to us. But nothing really happened yesterday, did it? I think we've covered that point, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I think next point, again, I think we started the podcast covering this, but we do need a bit of luck going our way. We're the only team with no new manager bounce. Even clear red cards for Jorginho we didn't get.
Not been a lot of luck, has there, going our way in the last few weeks?
No, I mean, you make your own luck, I think. And I'm saying that's a bit unfair, because I think yesterday we done enough to make our own luck. But luck is just that. It's luck. It happens when it happens. Again, next question we've pretty much covered. Why do you think Mustafi did not engage higher up the pitch and took the yellow to stop the counter for the second goal? We were 5-3 at the start when Mustafi turned round, and then we end up conceding, which is the point I was making, that we wasn't outnumbered. He then backed off and it gave their pacey players a chance to overtake our fucked players, and then it became 3-2 in their favour. Next question from him. Sorry, my phone keeps locking. Laka's poor form has cost us 5 points in the last two games. Is his hold up game so important for us? Why not try Pepe or Aubameyang in that role?
I don't think Lacazette's actually cost us the point. Well, not solely, at least. There's been other factors to it. I think it's a bit harsh to put it all on Lacazette.
But I think the argument is he scores his chances and we win both them games.
Yeah, definitely. And an in-form Lacazette does score them, but where does he get his form from if he doesn't play? At the same time, if he plays, he's not been getting in-form. You just don't know what you do with him.
Drop him. I mean, look, I get what you're saying about it's not solely his reason, but then nothing's ever solely anyone's reason when you drop points. I think it's fair, not to say he's cost us 5 points individually, because he hasn't, obviously, but no one individually ever costs you points over a long period of games. But the amount of times we've heard Xhaka's cost us points because he's given away a penalty in a game where the strikers have missed 5 chances and we've drawn 1-1, but that's solely Xhaka's fault. But this can't be solely Lacazette's fault, apparently. And on his hold-up play, saying, is his hold-up play so important? I would say yes, but he's been bad at it. And I don't know where that's come from. I said goal-scoring form, you can understand. You've seen strikers time and time again go through runs where they just can't score for whatever reason. But his hold-up play, it's just gone. He's working harder than he was in the last few weeks, so it's not effort. I really don't know what it is. Sushant again. Darren alluded to this earlier. Since the start of the 18-19 Premier League season, Leno's made more errors leading to goals, 7, than any other player in the Prem. Do we have something to worry over Leno, or we have a bigger issue in defence that we need to sort first?
Oh, do you know what? I know Sushant quite well. This is just... does my head in. You know, it's the first mistake he's made this season. Maybe there was one other. But when we look at how many times the ball's been given away, you know, by players, how many mistakes players make in matches, and he makes one and suddenly, he's not good enough. Now, fuck's sake, he's been terrific. He's been one of the best goalkeepers I've seen at Arsenal for years. I'm so pleased we got him. And now let's fucking have a little dig at him because he makes an error.
Yeah,
He wouldn't have come for that ball if he'd have known his centre half was going to come out and take it out.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think Luiz ducks out of it because he thinks because Leno's called for it. So it's just a massive, massive mix-up. You can't dress it up any other way but an error. But again, saying it's something to worry about. And also, this has gone around Twitter all day today, so I am stealing someone else's tweet, but I can't remember who it was, so I'm not going to credit them. A lot of the times when they say errors lead into goals, it's like if you make a save, a half decent save, and then but the parry's poor and they score a rebound, it goes, especially for a keeper, it goes down to an error leading towards a goal. But if you don't make the first save and it goes in, then that's not an error.
Yeah.
So it's like there's probably, in terms of these stats, he's saved James Ward-Prowse's penalty against Southampton, and Ward-Prowse has gone and scored a tap-in from inside the six-yard box. I'm not 100%, but there's a chance that's gone down as an error leading towards a goal. Yeah. When in reality, what's happened is he saved the penalty.
Yeah, do you know what? You're probably right. And I've just thought, Schwinn hasn't had a mention on this podcast today. It's since Schwinn's been on, I haven't heard those fucking letters XG mentioned about anything. Fucking statistics. Sushan, look up, fucking get your head in order. He's been great this year. He's been one of the shining lights in a fucking season where we're 12th or 13th position. Don't get on his back now. One mistake.
Just to have a little dig at XG, because I feel like I haven't done it for a while. There was a game in the Championship yesterday that finished 5-4.
Yeah.
And XG said it should have been 1.99 versus 1.62. Fuck off. It's 5-4. Like, you can't tell me. And they said the other team should have won 2-1.5. Like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Vishad again. Would you sell Laka to Atletico if it meant the funds from his sale would strengthen our midfield and defence, or if we could get Lacazette for Partey, Mario Hermoso or Lamar?
Liam?
Yeah. I said it earlier that I think if we sell Lacazette, as much as I like the guy, I think it solves a few headaches and a few debates that we constantly have. I don't know about this Mario Hermoso guy, but I'd take Partey in a heartbeat. Lamar, I'm not sure if I still would, but all the same, if we can use the money to strengthen midfield and defence, do it.
Yeah, you know, my view, I think we're faced with a very tricky situation. We're not attracting Champions League players at the moment because we're 12th. Are we 12th? 12th in the... 12th or in the, around that mark in the Premier League. We are going to have to face the facts that we're going to sell players for two reasons. One, they don't want to play for a mid-table Premier League side. And two, there are some players, big players, Lacazette and Aubameyang, whose contracts are up in 18 months and 2 years. So they have to be sold either this January or next summer if they don't sign new contracts. Let's stop talking about Lacazette. Aubameyang doesn't look like he wants to stay at the club. We might have to sell them both. Face facts.
To be honest, that would be my preference. If Aubameyang ain't going to sign a contract, I'd get rid of them both.
Yeah.
Next question is along the same lines. Sushant again. Would you sell Laka or Aubameyang in January, whichever one doesn't extend their contract, and replace with a proper left winger, say Zaha or Sane? I think he's reaching a bit with who he'd bring in, but I don't disagree.
Sane then?
Yeah.
Is Sane on the market?
No, I mean, he looked like he was going to go to Bayern and then got a season-ending injury in the Community Shield. So, and he's not, but he's still not. I think he's out for the season.
Right, OK. So. You know, I like Zaha. I've always fancied him at Arsenal, but he's had a quiet year as well. Although they're also above us, Crystal Palace, with the other 11 sides.
Rumour that Gabriel Jesus might be sold by City. Would you swap him for Aubameyang or Lacazette?
Don't know if City would want either of them.
Yeah, that'd be my... I don't rate Jesus, to be honest. Would I swap him for Lacazette? Yes. Would I swap him for Aubameyang with 18 months left on his contract? Yes, but I'm not a big fan and I don't think City would do that anyway. There's no interest in it for them. Who's this? Vishad. Been a very promising two games from Arteta and the boys. Arteta has the most difficult job in the Premier League by far, but he has shown he has a plan on how to turn the ship round while laying down the foundations for a better Arsenal. Will the board back him by replacing those players that are holding us back?
I guess time will tell, won't it? I'm not sure what we'll see in January. It's hit or miss, I think. The summer's going to be where we really see players sold and players bought in. I think he's Arteta at the moment. It's just going back to basics and going, let's just make us hard to beat, get the results that we can, make a go of the Europa League, maybe. And then the summer is where it really starts.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think we'll bring one or two in January, but I don't think there'll be superstar names like people are expecting. I think there'll be players that suit Arteta's mould, that, again, just additional bodies, especially with the injuries we've got. But I'm not expecting big things from anyone, to be honest. Maybe Chelsea are the only team I can see doing anything, and that's because obviously they couldn't in the summer.
Yeah, and much as I've been a bit critical of Arteta today, just because it makes better podcasting. But and look, we've done nothing so far. We've had two games, we haven't won. You know, we've run around a lot more, and we've moved the ball a bit quicker. So, you know, good start. We all like what he said. We all like what he said in his press conferences. Although I thought after the defeat at Chelsea, you know, he's only three press conferences in, and he started to look miserable and was moaning about injuries. But I hope that part of the conversation he's had with the management at Arsenal is, right, well, these are the players that I've identified. Because he must have known. He must have been looking at Arsenal for the last 6 months, thinking I might get a shot at this. So he must come in with some ideas of who he wants. And he knows there's not a lot of money about. So one of the things I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do in January, and even more so in the summer.
Sam Babcock, who was on the show as a host a couple of weeks ago with me and Tez, I can't remember what game it was, Man City, I think. Would you do everything possible to keep Aubameyang and sell Lacazette for a world-class striker? World-class is in brackets, is in speech marks, quotations. He is miles off Aubameyang in terms of goal scoring, and honestly, I'd rather have Giroud back instead of having Lacazette. Do you feel like he is currently being forced into our lineup?
Sam, all I can say is I look forward to chatting with you soon on a podcast. Fucking Giroud back.
Yeah. The first part of the question, to be honest, if I would do everything possible to keep Aubameyang, and if that meant selling Lacazette, I would do it. I agree he's not world class. I agree he's miles off Aubameyang. No, I wouldn't rather Giroud than him. Although I would like an option that can give us something different, but it's not Giroud. Do I feel he's being forced into the lineup? Absolutely. Then Sutton just sent us Maitland-Niles stats for the game. There's no question. I don't really know what I'm meant to do with them. Maitland-Niles versus Chelsea, 84% pass completion, 4 out of 7 long balls accurate, 1 out of 1 dribbles completed, 5 out of 7 tackles won, 8 out of 12 ground duels won, 2 out of 4 aerial battles won, 3 interceptions.
Do you know, I think Sushant, like we all did when we did our 3-2-1s, we all praised Ainsley Maitland-Niles. We thought we had a good game, and I guess Sushant is just hammering that point home. But when I saw that question, it did make me think, you know, it's like 8 out of 12 tackles made. You could say 4 tackles missed. I hate statistics. Do you know, it's
stats can sell whatever story you're looking
exactly.
to sell.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just loading up Twitter to get questions from there, which I've not looked at.
One of them might be from me, because I didn't think I was going to be on the pod today.
Yeah.
That's okay. You can ask your question and you can answer it.
FPL Canada. As the game wore on, the Arsenal players wore out and the concentration levels dropped. I realised chasing the ball for 45 minutes plus is tiring, but are we fit enough?
I think there's a balance. Is that, I mean, it's an interesting point that Arteta said we tired, but I think the very fact that we've got so many injuries in so many similar positions, I think we're having to play the same people week in, week out.
Well, I was just going to say, it's not even week in, week out at the moment, it's every 2 days.
Yeah, so I just think we had such a good full squad 4 weeks, 5 weeks ago, didn't we? We were looking at it thinking, they're all coming back. Tierney's in the side, he ain't looking that good. Bellerin's back, not looking up to scratch. But once they've all started to fall by the wayside, we're picking, you know, there was two players for every position at Arsenal, and there isn't at the moment in some positions.
There ain't even
one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I saw an article today, I think it was an old one from The Athletic, and they basically said in September that Arsenal are going to fade later in the year. Not that we was great then, because Emery was basically playing basketball. It was like run up, run down, run up, rather than holding positions, and it would take its toll later in the season. I don't think this is that, and I'm hoping that isn't true, because if that's to come, we are in trouble. FPL can FPL Canada again. Leno is a good shot stopper, but can be weak on crosses and not good with his feet. Should Arteta give Martinez some game time? I would say looking ahead, Leno does not have the top quality required, and if not Emi, then we should target a new keeper.
No, we shouldn't give Martinez game time in the league unless Leno continues every single game to make those same mistakes. I think at the moment Leno is good enough for us. Maybe if we get to a point like Liverpool where we continuously build and we get this fantastic squad, maybe we then look for an upgrade. But that's also potentially because it's taken us that many years that Leno's aged and it isn't quite the same keeper as he was. So no is the honest answer.
You know my feeling, Tony. We've got a goalkeeper who's got 6 years of Champions League experience. He's at a perfect age for a goalkeeper. He's only going to get better in the next 5 years. And people are, you know, throwing him under the bus because he makes one mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be bringing Martinez in for him. His kicking does routinely annoy me. And to be honest, I actually think, regardless of the error, it was Leno's worst game in a long, long time. Yesterday, his kicking was very, very poor. But look, kicking is something that can be improved on, and it shouldn't be too difficult. And I hope, with Arteta wanting him to play the ball more, it's something they work on and he does improve on.
Aren't you hoping that Arteta stops that situation that we found ourselves in, where the goalkeeper doesn't know what to do because the players are very static around him and upfield? I mean, that's surely something that's so embarrassing for us. It makes Leno look bad. It makes the defenders look bad. Aren't we hoping that that's something that Arteta is going to change? And I thought in the last game, we actually did. We moved the ball quicker from the back.
Well, for me, the big issue is when teams press us, we always leave the fullbacks high and wide and they are open. And for whatever reason, Leno's just never been able to make that pass. He'll make it once or twice, or he'll put it too high and it's difficult to control. He just can't seem to play that ball with any regularity. And that's the thing that annoys me more than anything else, because it is always on. When we play Chambers at right back, it's on all the time because of his height. But even with short players, even with Saka and Maitland-Niles, it was on so often. As I said yesterday, it stood out a lot because Chelsea were pressing through the middle. It looked like they'd planned for Xhaka to be playing, because they completely blocked out the middle of the pitch, which is where we usually go to a centre-back, and then it ends up coming inside to Xhaka at some point so he can progress the ball forward. So Chelsea completely blocked out the middle of the pitch, especially with playing a back five. Nelson stayed high and the Aubameyang stayed high, and then Saka and Maitland-Niles were in absolute acres, and just time and time again Leno gave the ball away or gave it to them so they could only flick it on when a better pass they would have been able to bring it down. That just that one ball for me would make him so much better, and us as a team so much better, and as I said, I hope it's something that they work on. Next question. MWA Gunner, I know VAR isn't used on yellows, but why wasn't VAR used for when Lacazette was fouled in the box in the first half? He lost his foot in there, but then got the ball and was fouled.
I don't want to talk about VAR. I really don't. Liam, take it away. VAR for me is dead. I mean, didn't Lacazette get one disallowed for his nostril being fucking nostril hair being offside earlier in the season? His goals would look quite respectable if he'd got that one. Liam, take it away.
I think that was about 3 years ago, but. Nope. You want to add it to this season to stack up Lacazette, feel free.
Sorry, so how can it be 3 years ago? I thought VAR only came in this season.
No, he had one at Stoke disallowed for the outside of his shoelace about 3 years ago, and it was a reason that why VAR would be better.
One at Emirates this season, scored it in the goal where I'm, the end I'm at, disallowed. Liam, take it off on VAR, I don't want to talk about it.
I can't actually think of the incident that he's referring to. Was it the one where he had we were talking about the bounce didn't quite fall right? Is he thinking he got fouled then?
No, it was... I'm not sure if it was 0-0 or 1-0 by that point. And to be honest, again, nothing happened from it, so they didn't really show it on TV again. But it was... I think he got fouled outside the area, but he kind of sort of dropped to his knees and got up and stumbled on and kept the ball and then recycled the ball out wide or gave the ball away. And my feeling straight away, again, I might be wrong because I've only seen it live and it was the other end of the pitch. My feeling straight away was it was a foul, but outside the area. So obviously,
I think I vaguely remember it, but I was having streaming problems for the first 10 minutes of the game or so. I think it would. No, I can't remember it well enough. I probably shouldn't comment if I'm honest.
Yeah, so it might. What I know the incident he's thinking of, but I only remember seeing it live, and it might have been in the area. I just know because it was close. But my initial feeling was he's outside the area; it can't be looked at. But it's one of them, you know, when you get clipped, and but you can stumble on, and then he did stumble on and get the ball, and then he turned backwards, and then I can't remember what happened with it. MAA Gunner again. Ozil, Aubameyang and Louise, probably our best three players, but what's happened to Lacazette? Very wasteful with chances. We've done that to it's dead. It wasn't only his chances he was bad with. MAA Gunner, the excuses we made for Emery, like it's not his team, his first season is free, used to piss me off. Now Arteta is two games in, I'm making the same excuses. Our shape was excellent and we moved the ball well. Gwen did well, but who replaces Xhaka?
I don't know about the Guendouzi thing. I don't think Guendouzi actually played that well, in all honesty. I thought he did enough to look reasonably all right and look after his stats, but I don't think he really contributed to the game in any way. As for who replaces Xhaka, it's anybody's guess at this point. Maybe we look to Brazil with Edo's links. I've heard of this guy called Bruno. I don't know a lot about him. That's the difficult bit, because I think if Xhaka does go, we have to replace him. I think the short-term solution, though, would probably be Louise if we had enough centre-halves.
I can't see Arteta. I know you say this quite often. I can't see Arteta ever playing Louise there. It's easy to play football. It's easier to play football when you've got the ball. You're not really being pressured and everything's in front of you. It's very different taking the ball on the half-turn when you've got a man on your back or playing the balls quickly. I can only see Louise ever playing there if you've got all the time in the world and people are going to press us from goal kicks because they know we can't really do it. So I really don't think Louise is an option.
I think it's our key position, isn't it, Tony? It's our key position. We need to forget if Xhaka goes or not, whether Xhaka stays or not. We're just missing that person who can take that ball from the defence and turn both ways and keep possession of the ball. Santi Cazorla, Cesc Fabregas, Jack Wilshere. You know, those players that are just comfortable on the ball and can turn away from trouble. And David Luiz, I think, played really well, you know, at that position the one time that Emery played him there, but he's not the long-term solution. It doesn't seem to me he's Torreira or Guendouzi, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, it was also 23 minutes against the Frankfurt B team.
Yeah.
He was very good, but it was 23 minutes against Frankfurt reserves, essentially. And to just go on what Liam said and on the question, I don't think Guendouzi was good yesterday. I don't think he was close to good, but his name's not Xhaka, so I guess we'll have it.
I just mention this on Xhaka? Somebody in the pub who I see before the game, he's a friend, he's somebody I see every week, goes every week with his son or with his mum or with his, before he passed away, his dad. So over the last 6 or 7 years, I've got to know this fella, you know, just for talking about Arsenal, just in the pub, just before the game. And he's a miserable, moaning bastard as a supporter. So I wind him up, you know, I kind of enjoy seeing him. But yesterday, and this is the point, because the three of us were on the podcast last, and I said, oh, Xhaka's not playing. And he went, well, yeah, he's pretty shit anyway. And I said, well, didn't you think on the last game he played well? And he went, nah, fuck. He just gave the ball away again and again and again. And I just couldn't. Do you know, all three of us, different ages, different backgrounds, all gave him the man of the match. I looked up his stats. He had 96 passes, the most in the game. 90 out of 96 completed passes. We all gave him the man of the match, and yet that bloke in the pub, who is a very typical Arsenal fan, who won't be listening to this podcast, says, oh, Jack is a cunt, gives the ball away. And that's what our fans are like.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Obviously, you're saying it about someone you personally know, and that's the majority of people that are that.
Yes.
But it's just silly. I think a lot of people don't. They watch the game with preconceived ideas. So as soon as one thing that suits that idea happens, they ignore everything else that goes against that idea. So he's probably seen him give the ball away once and gone, fuck's sake, Jack has given it away again. And he's like, well, where's that again come from? What, you're talking about he done it last week as well? Oh, no, twice in two games.
I just think that we did it with Mustafi and now we're doing it with Lacazette. Carry on, next question.
Wouldn't Arteta prefer Maitland-Niles to Bellerin if he wants them to play as a third centre midfielder in parts of the game? Obviously, that's what I said last week, and I think Hector's really going to struggle to get back in. I don't know if you're to agree, disagree, think I'm stupid, think MWA Gunner's stupid.
Liv, do you want to take it? I've got an answer.
Yeah, I said as much in my ratings. For the first time yesterday, I thought I actually can't see Bellerin getting in this squad. I thought maybe Maitland-Niles is as good as Bellerin, but yesterday I thought there's no way Bellerin actually gets in this squad at the moment, because Maitland-Niles looks happy being able to, all right, he's at right back, but he does get to move into central midfield and he does get to venture forward as well and play the winger role that he likes as well. So I can't, if you keep Maitland-Niles happy and you keep him playing as well as he is, Bellerin doesn't get in this squad, not a chance.
Yeah, but isn't Maitland-Niles, you know, it's one or two good performances. Until recently, we've been saying we need, you know, it's not been good enough. Bellerin, it's a big season for Hector Bellerin. He's a favourite at the club. He's had a very serious injury, and I think, you know, you've got to take that on board. He was out for a year. And the same with Holding. When you come back from these long injuries, there's lots of things that can go wrong in your recovery. But Hector's really got to get back into this side and get back to showing some of the form that he had or that he's capable of. Otherwise, forget this Maitland-Niles over Bellerin. Surely a right back becomes our second or third most important position to buy someone in the summer.
For me, it's not even about ability. It's a system issue that if he wants a right back that's going to stride into centre midfield and be competent on playing the ball, beating a man, holding up a man, holding off a man, and battle in the middle of the pitch, that's not Bellerin. So I'm not saying this based on how Maitland-Niles has performed in the last two or three games, and he has been good. It's the style that Arteta seems to want them to play in just doesn't suit Bellerin at all.
To jump on that as well at the same time, I think you're absolutely right, Bellerin isn't that sort of person, but Tierney is probably going to be our first choice left back. So the saving grace potentially for Bellerin is that Tierney will do that central midfield role and Bellerin will be the one that might be his saving grace.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'd rather, because of Tierney's delivery, I'd rather be the one that get forward. I mean, how many times do we seem to, not so much yesterday, I think it happened once or twice, but we seem to get Saka in behind and his final ball just either isn't good or just doesn't find the man. It doesn't mean it's not good, it gets cut out or whatever. And I think if you can get someone on the overloads that can deliver a ball, I think you're wasting a lot of what Tierney's good at if you get him to be the one that knocks the ball 5 yards in centre midfield. Anyway, MWA Gunner again. Are we going to see Joe Willock come on for O's or win every single game? Anyone?
Don't know, don't care.
Same answer.
Yeah, I mean, Hack on Larson replied to that saying nope. So
yeah, take Hack.
On to Hack on Larson. Why do you guys think we sort of lost control and possession in the game? Was it our plan to sit back? Anyone?
Chelsea were a lot better than us, kept the ball really well, forced us back. And something that you mentioned earlier, Tony, I thought when we did kick it long, we just kicked it long to players who don't hold the ball up very well. I think the only time that we looked dangerous is when we did curl one out of play up near the corner flag and stepped up and moved up near the halfway line and tried to pen them in. But it was few and far between. The ball just kept coming back and back and back at us because we can't hold the ball and play football. And you know, we just haven't got the players that can do it. Big scary worry for me that you know, this is a young, inexperienced Chelsea side, but technically they were so much better than us in that second half and they all wanted the ball.
Yeah. Hakon Larsson, who's the bigger cunt, the ref or Jorginho?
Lacazette, surely.
It's a bit, you guys probably think I've been harsh on Lacazette. I think I've taken it pretty easy on him. I think he's hugely at fault for the first goal as well. But I'm hoping there's more questions on him and I'll get onto that. I don't really see... Look, Jorginho should have been sent off, and as I said earlier, I think he had 5 yellow card offences. On the flip side, I don't really see what he's done wrong. Like, Arsenal fans I've seen going mad about him. Oh, he's a massive cunt. Well, yeah, anyone that plays against us is a massive cunt, but he's done what he's done, and if the ref's not enforcing it, he's going to carry on pushing it.
Sort of player we've been missing?
Not really. I think he's just got away with it because he's not that type of player. And I hate that phrase, but he's not a hatchet man. He's just very bad.
We can't complain about Mustafi not bringing a player down and then praise a player for bringing someone down. You know, it's...
You know, yeah, we can. That's exactly you. You've messed up what you said there. I would have praised Mustafi if you bring him down. Yeah,
well,
so I can praise it.
But that's what I was saying. It's the sort of player we wanted, isn't it? That's what I said. It's the sort of player we want. It's the sort of player we're missing.
Jorginho, that's bad. What I'm saying is Jorginho isn't usually that type of player. Yeah, that is the type of player we want, but Jorginho isn't usually that. I think he got away with it yesterday. He's not usually the guy that makes 5 or 6 fouls. It just seemed like every time I went near him yesterday, he made a foul and the ref let him get away with it. Hakon Larsson, I think it was so many positives and Arteta has done a great job in a short amount of time. Unlucky with Chambers and the ref was a cunt. Leno went full retard and Mustafi really fucked us. But is our fitness level bad? It seems like we get tired very fast. I think we've covered that earlier. Players playing.
It's a well thought out question, that though. I mean, you know, it's a good summary of where we were yesterday. Except there was quite a lot of praise for Arteta. And I'm going to praise him as well. I'm an Arsenal fan. I want him to do well. I really do. But on the two games so far, we've drawn and lost. You know, and made poor substitutions and not changed games. So I think the opening statement about Arteta's done really well. What, in the press conference? Whee!
I'm not going to bother. Clay. Keys to the Kingdom, Clay, because an admin on WhatsApp. Jorginho is a bigger snatch than Diego Costa.
Move on.
Halls of Marble. It was a game of two halves, but surely we're doing ourselves an injustice if we blame the referee for our defeat. No, we're not. We could have been better, yes, but we had a plan, especially once Jorginho started to take control, to try and give him as little time as possible and get around him. We've nicked the ball off him high off the pitch. He's on a booking. He's made the most blatant, most obvious yellow card tackle you've ever seen. 20 minutes to go, plus there'd already been a couple of injuries by then. So the stoppage time was probably already sitting at 3 or 4 minutes. So you've got 25 minutes to go, say, with them down to 10 men and us 1-0 up. That, yes, there is Arsenal deficiencies, but if the ref sends him off, that we go on to win that game by 2 or 3. Because their legs...
Do you know what? I think that's nonsense. We couldn't get near in the second half. They were olaying. You know, I mean, you can't blame a referee because we didn't score. You know, we had 2 shots on target in 90 minutes. It's plenty of time. You can't just say that incident. Yeah, of course it was a bad incident, but it weren't like we were going to score from it. We may have done. We may have had a shot. We may not have done.
No, it's not from that incident, but it's taken him down to 10 men for 25 minutes in a game they're already chasing. They've taken a defender off. The pitch gets stretched. We've got pace on the break. We could bring Pepe on, who makes the team even quicker. That is such a key incident. I can't believe people are playing it down. I'm not saying we were perfect, but to act like, oh, that has no real effect on the game is lunacy. We might have to play with 8 men on Wednesday, because it don't matter if you've got less men. On the 60th minute, take 3 players off and don't bring anyone else on. Apparently it don't matter. Just fine. Yeah, it's having less men's the same as having the same amount. And fuck it, go 1-0 down, because it don't matter. Go down 1-0 down to 8 men and don't change the game.
Getting battered yesterday. We were battered in that second half.
But if you take the guy that's controlling the game off and leaves them down to 10 men, they've lost the guy who keeps the ball all the time.
Yeah, okay, the referee made a mistake, our goalkeeper made a mistake, Lacazette made a mistake, Mustafi made a mistake. You know, there's 90 minutes of football. You know, if we'd have been 3-0 up in the first half, it wouldn't have mattered. There's 90 minutes to do it. By the time that incident's done, we were under the cosh. And yes, it may have changed the game. But what's your question? If my uncle was me, what? Be me auntie? You know, it's if we're just going to blame referees each week, then, you know, might as well give up and go home.
We'll stop blaming VAR for everything then. It's the same thing. It's just a different geezer making the decision.
No, VAR I'm against for different reasons. VAR I'm against because it goes against the ethos of the game for me. It's a game that's free-flowing.
Oh, so you don't care about the decisions it makes?
Do you know what? No, I was asked this when it came out. Would I rather go back to the system it was before, where we had the odd fucking calamitous mistake? Yes, of course I fucking would, because it's better than doing the way we're doing it now.
I directly quote from you earlier. Didn't Lacazette have a goal given offside by a nose hair?
Well, yeah, we've got that system in place.
Decisions don't matter. So you're arguing against the time it took to disallow that goal?
I'm arguing that as a fan...
You didn't say,
tell me, it's policy. As a fan...
So how long did it take?
Fan, I don't like VAR, didn't want it introduced, and I have seen nothing to change my mind.
But you're contradicting yourself.
You say I'm arguing about yourself. I'm clear on that. From go listen to me for the last 3.5 fucking years, whenever this sort of technology came in, I had to go backwards a bit after the World Cup where it was quite good and it seemed to work. The way it's been implemented into the Premier League is nonsense. And as a football fan that attends games, I don't like it. All right, that's just my opinion. I'm not saying it's the right opinion, it's my opinion. And that has never changed. Don't like it, would rather go back. I like over the goal line technology because that's black and white really is. The rest of it for me is subjective and it's just got worse rather than better. I can live with the mistakes the referees make. I can really live with it. I've been watching football for fucking a long time and now they've brought in a new novel guy to make football better. Is it making it better? Are we enjoying it? No.
But that wasn't what you bring up. You bring up that he was offside by a nose hair. So it's a massive contradiction.
But that's what we're talking about now. We're pundits. We've got VAR, so we have to discuss it. But my opinion on it hasn't changed.
I didn't say it's changed. I said you're bringing up two different points, one that suits your argument and one doesn't, and you use whatever one suits what you're saying at the time.
I am saying about Lacazette, there have been mistakes throughout about VAR, but it goes back to the thing I'm saying again and again, I don't like it.
This isn't a VAR question. You said earlier, and again, another direct quote, had Lacazette had that goal, his season might have difference, his numbers would actually look quite good.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter about VAR.
So you're talking about something that may or might not have happened a few weeks ago, and I'm pretty sure it didn't. But now you're saying that it's inconsequential that they should have had someone sent off when...
I'm not saying inconsequential. Listen, roll back, listen to this. I'm not saying it's inconsequential. It was a terrible mistake by the referee. I don't think there is an Arsenal fan on the planet that thinks it was. But if we just go around saying we lost that game yesterday because of the referee, then that is wrong. We lost that game yesterday, we were battered. We didn't have enough attacks, we didn't have enough shots, our goalkeepers and our defenders made mistakes. You know, if you're just going to say every week, well, let's blame the referee.
Would you rather we played that game with 25 minutes to go against 10 men that haven't been 1-0?
Of course I would.
Tony,
don't try and make out I'm fucking stupid because the ref. I'm not defending the referee. I'm saying it was a terrible mistake. And 100% of Arsenal fans know it's a mistake. Absolutely. What I'm saying is that we've got to look at other things. We can't just blame the referee because we lost that game yesterday. It was not the referee's fault. It may have been a contributing factor. It may have been a big contributing factor. Like Leno coming out and missing the ball completely is a contributing factor. But if we just moan that it's the referee's fault, the referee's the reason we didn't win, then we're embarrassing. We've got to look a little bit deeper at ourselves and how we played.
The two things are not mutually exclusive. The referee is why we didn't win. That's not saying we played well and we deserved the win over what happened. But if we're 1-0 up with 20 minutes to go, 25 minutes to go, against 10 men with their key man taken off, we win that game at an absolute canter. So there's not. I'm not trying to say we were perfect and the ref fucked us.
Sorry, I also didn't realise you had a crystal ball.
Okay, we're going to try and be clever.
No, but you're saying if that had happened, this would have happened and this would have happened. Yeah, we may have won the game. We may have.
Okay, every time I'm going to ask anyone for a prediction, I'm just going to hang up the call because no one knows what's going to happen. That's how we're going to do this from now on. Actually, what's the point answering questions? Because we don't actually know. So, KSC is the ultimate source of all our issues. Largely, my phone screen's gone off again. I need to change that. Largely due to bad decision-making. Has their mismanagement highlighted a decade of wasted opportunities and mishaps? Can Arteta and the additions at Raul, etc., be... invigorated what we need? Well, we don't know because none of us have a crystal ball. Liam said, hi gents, interested to hear your thoughts on Freddie sitting in the director's box to see the game from a different viewpoint. None of us are Fred Lundberg, so we don't know. We can't answer that one. Also, interestingly, he did do the warm-up, so I saw the WhatsApp group saying he was in the stands. I didn't know, but I did see pictures this morning. Arteta said he wanted to see the game from a different viewpoint. Any thoughts on it?
That's how Liam said something.
It's his own question, which is a bit weird, but go on then. It's gone home.
Sorry, excuse me. I was coughing. I've still got this sore throat. Yeah, I know it was my own question, but I thought it was quite interesting to see, not from the sake of... because. Well, we've seen managers do it before. Nigel Pearson springs to mind. He used to do it at Leicester. But I just thought it was quite interesting that Arteta didn't go up there himself. He actually sent Freddie, the assistant, up there, so he could still be on the touchline. I actually quite like the idea of getting more than one viewpoint at the same time, but I wondered, I can't really make my mind up too much about it, so I just wondered what you guys have thought about it.
My only worry, and I agree with pretty much all you've said, I like getting it from a different viewpoint. I don't advocate it being the manager because you want them willing them on the touchline. My worry is that has he put Freddie there because he didn't really want him and he's been made to keep him?
I don't have
a crystal ball, but I'm guessing. I'm going to say that after every question now because apparently that's what this show does.
No, Tony, don't be childish. The thing is, as a pundit...
As a pundit, you give your opinion.
But what you're saying is you knew exactly what was going to happen if that player had been sent off.
Answer the question.
Sorry, we're waiting for something.
I said, what was you going to say in answer to Liam's question?
No, I think you said it all.
Oh, you started saying something.
No, you said it right. I actually agree with you. I thought, is it because he put him up there because he's got him out of the way? It felt a bit cringy to me, but it might be something they do at Manchester City that they know, you know, he always has somebody up there. Makes some sense.
Keys to the kingdom, Clay. Would we have been better off by setting Torreira or anyone really to shadow Jorginho with a few expletives between Jorginho once he came on, the game changed?
I think I've covered that.
Yeah, I think it would have been better, but Ozil doesn't do that role, and you kind of want Ozil in the side, so it's risk versus reward. Do you want to nullify the risk of Jorginho's influence, or do you want to try and take the game by the scruff of the neck yourself and render him ineffective? It's risk versus reward, I think.
Yeah, I think as well, Torreira was playing so well and he was stopping anything between the lines if you push him higher up. And if Jorginho does manage to get the ball away, which he's more than capable of doing even when being man-marked, then they've got three gaps in between the lines. So, again, it's what I said earlier. I knew there was a problem to be solved, but much like my school years, I didn't know the answer to it. Wayne Ing, why do 99% of the refs hate Arsenal?
I wish I knew the answer. Isn't he the fourth official I've seen for the Leeds game?
I believe it's the United game. So they've seen it as, it's not, the FA haven't said they've punished him, but they've not given him a game on New Year's Day. So it's been seen by fans as that's their way of punishing him, but the game they have given him is fourth official at the Emirates.
I find that quite funny, if I'm honest, must say.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle to remember much a performance as bad as and inconsistent. Again, I don't think he was particularly biased. The Jorginho incident is a horrible, horrible, horrible mistake. But and then the Tomori, I think, should have been booked after 2 minutes, and then Guendouzi gets booked for the same thing, rightly a booking at the other end 2 minutes later. As I said, for me, Guendouzi could have got sent off, and I think they should have had a penalty. I just think he had a horrible, horrible game. I wouldn't say he was particularly biased. Waning again. Guendouzi is too slow and far from as good as Xhaka. I agree. And I don't think I'm in the minority there.
Nope, I agree as well.
Looking forward to see what Arteta does with him. That's a third consecutive. I mean, he hasn't played him. Lundberg didn't play him, so he's been out of the picture for a couple of months now. And we've got Xhaka Torreira back, but Xhaka's going to be leaving the club, it looks. So it does be interesting to see what Arteta does from between now and the end of the season.
A couple of people have come out today and said Xhaka was genuinely ill, but of course that's what the club are going to leak because that's the message that they sent out. This guy, Annie Rudder. Message and tell me if I'm saying your name wrong, because I really don't know. The performance was so reminiscent of the Emery era. If that was Emery, we wouldn't have been so kind. Your thoughts? I disagree completely. You too, Darren?
Well, I think, you know, if we'd have just lost at home again and you know, drawn at Bournemouth, you know, Emery was getting criticised, whatever he did. So, yeah, I do think we would have still been moaning because we're in that mindset. But we're all quite positive because we've got a new manager. We're going to give him some leeway for a few months, at least, I hope. So there was a lot more energy and a lot more. We moved the ball a lot quicker, and we're restricted with how many players we got out. So I understand where the question's coming from, that we would be really critical. But we're also in that honeymoon period where we've got to support a new guy.
Just the next question is very similar. So, Liam, is Arteta doing an Emery with respect to Pepe? The situation seems very similar to that of Ozil and Emery.
Honestly, I don't know what's going on with Pepe, because it's Arteta and Emery aren't the only ones that have done it. Freddie did it as well. So
I might not have been clear. He's liking it more to how Emery treated Ozil. The situation seems very similar to that of Ozil and Emery.
Isn't this your question, Liam?
No, this isn't mine. I don't know. I don't think we know enough detail about the behind the scenes, because I think a lot of stuff came out about Ozil and Emery not seeing eye to eye. They didn't like the work rate, but we're not really getting those stories. It's just kind of been a bit, it's been a bit blank. We haven't had anything that's difficult to draw any kind of comparisons to it, especially at this stage.
But it is three consecutive managers haven't liked Pepe's attitude or something in training, which is a pity, isn't it? Because we're all guessing because we don't know what's happened behind the scenes, but it is three managers who haven't fancied him. So it must be something to do with work rate or intelligence, or there's something that they don't like. They're just using him as an impact player.
Yeah, my best guess is the work rate, because I said in the match reports, you can see why Nelson was playing that game yesterday ahead of Pepe, because he worked his arse off the same way Aubameyang did on the side to protect Ainsley Maitland-Niles, and I couldn't see Pepe doing the same thing. So best guess is it's something to do with the work rate. We just haven't had any confirmation either which way as to what the problem is or why he's not getting in the squad.
Just the only thing I had on it, because again we don't know, is that I don't see it similar to the Ozil and Emery situation, where Emery flat track bombed him off and didn't want to use him at all. And to be honest, I think he only gave in to fan pressure, and that was the only results were going bad. Fans were on his back, so he put Ozil in. So I don't see it like that, because it's no one they use him in most games. He's not been out of the 18 at all, apart from he didn't travel to a dead rubber essentially in the Europa League. So I don't know if it's settling in, if it is work rate, if it's attitude, if it's application, whatever it is, but I don't see it as similar, well, not yet, to the Ozil and Emery situation. Again, Annie Rudder, if Arteta's plan was to hit Chelsea on the counter, then Pepe has to start. That is exactly how he played at Lille and scored loads of goals. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we just covered Pep, haven't we? I mean, none of us really know why he's not, because in theory he should be ahead of Reece Nelson in every description, shouldn't he? He should be playing, but three consecutive managers haven't. So, don't know. I don't know why.
Just, I don't think it was a plan to play on the counter, and we didn't early on until they made the system change, and I think it was more forced upon us than, I don't think our plan was to play on the counter.
No, I agree, but I think we're trying to play with very quick transitions, a bit like City do, I guess, and the same thing sort of goes, doesn't it? I mean, we did play with so much energy, and we moved the ball really quickly at the start, and Reece Nelson played very well, so it's hard to argue against, you know, having Pepe in. But even in that sort of quick transition sort of style, you would think that Pepe would be first choice, you know, after paying 80 million for him, or whatever it was, 70 odd million.
Yeah, I'd completely expect so. As I said, it's just a question, said if Arteta's plan was to hit Chelsea on the counter, I don't think it was. Have either of you watched Emery's interview with Guillaume Balague? I haven't, so I can't comment on it.
No, the bit that came out of it was that he was talking about being... I mean, I haven't seen the interview in full, just a bit that's hit Twitter and stuff today about that he was offered, or Arsenal were talking about offering him a new contract in the summer just gone, which thankfully they didn't. Otherwise, it would have cost us a bit more money. But obviously, like we all were, I think, in the summer, we were hopeful that with the new signings, it was all going to be a good season for us. It's not.
Liam, I think you have watched it, haven't you?
Yeah, I watched the full thing just this morning while I was writing the match report. He didn't really say much more than we didn't already know. If I'm honest, it almost seemed a little bit rehearsed. I don't think we can really draw much from it, if I'm honest.
I've not watched it. But the only thing...
if I'm honest.
The two main things I've seen people talk about are the reason he gave Xhaka captaincy. And someone cut up that bit and put it on Twitter, but they didn't have the subtitles on, and I couldn't be asked to actually go into YouTube and turn the subtitles on. So I don't know the answer, but people seem to have been making a big deal out of it. And then the other bit was the he wanted to tell the players individually he'd been sacked and not as a group, and they all came to his office individually apart from Torreira, who didn't bother, which is pretty interesting. And in a way, I kind of see it as a good thing, because we've been hearing Torreira wants out, and if it was just a personal thing against Emery, which that action would make it seem like, then we've got more chance of holding on to him, seemingly.
Yeah, I'm going to throw water on that. I think it's been taken completely out of context. He does say those exact words that he says, everybody came to see me individually because I didn't want the whole group thing except Torreira. And then he goes on to say, Torreira at the time couldn't come and see me, but left me a message. Think he was having a massage at the time or something along those lines, but did actually send him an individual message.
Fair enough. That's annoying.
Yeah.
And that's what quotes can do for you.
I know, right?
Annie Rodder again. Again, Arteta was slow with substitutions. Laka and Ozil were exhausted. If you want to defend deep, you need legs. Smith Rowe and Willock should have been brought on earlier. I think we've kind of done the substitutions to death. But yeah. What I will say, and I kind of avoided it earlier because I thought there'd be questions on it. The Reece Nelson rolls for their first goal. Reece Nelson rolls the ball into Laka, and you'd expect him to hold it all day. His tiredness. I think he was trying to think about what he was going to do before actually getting the ball in. And Jorginho's nip round him, and then it's a stupid, stupid foul. You know Jorginho can't run, and he's fouled him in the corner, and then obviously they've crossed it, and a huge mistake. But as I said earlier, my sub would have been Pepe for Laka just to stretch the pitch. I wouldn't have done Smith Rowe or Willock just because they can't hold the ball, essentially. Halls of Marble. This may be controversial, but I would sell Laka and keep Aubameyang. Having both forces the manager to play both, and it imbalances our attack. In hindsight, was it a mistake in signing Aubameyang when we did, given the clutter it's causing up top? Note back, I welcome Aubameyang's goals immensely.
I read that a couple of times. I wonder if it's actually just been written the wrong way round. You know, he says it's controversial whether he would sell Aubameyang ahead of Lacazette. Question makes more sense then, I think, if it, because he goes on to talk about that it would be controversial. Selling Lacazette for Aubameyang isn't controversial, is it? It's the...
Well, not to us, because we, I think, would do that. But a lot of people moan that Aubameyang does nothing but score goals. Dumbest quote in football. And that Lacazette brings much more to the team. So I think he's going on that. Or he's either going on that or got it the wrong way around. And obviously, I don't know. In terms of the making a mistake signing when we did, the fact is Lacazette just wasn't scoring enough goals and Sanchez was going, so we needed to replace. We need goals from somewhere. It can't be seen as a mistake for me, because fuck knows what would have happened the rest of that season if we would have just had Laka. And then Laka was injured as well. Yeah. So we'd have been playing. Giroud obviously went. I don't know who would have been playing up front.
Well, he won the Golden Boot and he's up there again this year. You know, no, it wasn't a mistake. It's a very, very astute signing.
This guy, Arsenal pods and blogs, they just must be Australian, because Tez has been saying this all week. Do you think Grealish or Aaron Moy would do a good job at Arsenal? I'm thinking of cheap buyers. And Wayne England, just before you guys answer, has said Moy, yes. I can only assume they're Australian.
Well, Moy took the headlines all weekend, didn't he? First scoring a good goal, and the fans down at Brighton, is it? I've been saying that he's been outstanding all season. But it's a bit like anything. We've probably missed the boat on him if they are that good, because they won't want to come to us.
Well, Moy's on loan from Huddersfield.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so he might be cheap.
Yeah, well, that's the other part that got me about that question, saying thinking cheap options and mentioning Grealish should cost an absolute fortune.
Yeah, Grealish is not going to be cheap.
But yeah, after Moy scored that goal the other day, Tez couldn't wait to get on WhatsApp saying, oh, I've heard that Arsenal are all over Moy, because Australians are weird. Liam, any thoughts on that?
Not really. Grealish I don't think is possible. Moy, I haven't seen Brighton enough talk about him, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, he's not good enough for Arsenal. I'll just put that out there. And then the last question is Arsenal pods and blogs again. All this talk of Xhaka being sold in January, as we sit in 12th, 11 points from the bottom. Huh? 11 points from bottom and 6 points from relegation. Guendouzi should be sold. Most overrated player to wear the Arsenal shirt. Ooh, this will be fun.
Well, thank God it's an interesting world and we all have different opinions. So it's funny how, you know, for me, as a young kid comes into the club, he shouldn't have been thrown in as a 17-year-old, I think, when we bought him from second division of French football. I don't think anyone thought that he would play much and he would be a squad player that they saw something in for the future. And they've played him. And yet successive managers have played him. You know, they do tend to like him. I think he's been overplayed now. I think he's got the criticism of the crowd on his back, and I think, as Tony said many times, with not having a system that you can really rely on and play week in week out, I don't think he's bringing too much. But I also think, with the right manager and the right style, I think he's the future of Arsenal Football Club. I think he's got energy, I think he's got vision, I think he can pass with both feet, he can turn both ways. I'm hoping he will develop into a really top player for our football club. And to say we'll sell him, yeah of course, cost us.
I am nowhere near a fan of him. In fact, I'm verging on not liking him, but I wouldn't sell him. I think, in a way, he's, and so many Arsenal players have had this before, we overhype players, and then when they're in fact not world beaters, which they never were in the first place, they become shit because they've not got what you expected from them. Like, Guendouzi, after 10 games, people saying, oh, he's a generational talent. And I shared this yesterday, that him and Fabregas at the same age, and there is people, I would call them idiots, that would say Fabregas was never world class. At the same age of Guendouzi, streets and streets ahead, we know that. But, and they're claiming that Guendouzi's a generational talent. Now he's not turned out to be a generational talent, which we knew he wasn't, or you should have known he wasn't. It's gone the complete other way in that, he's not what we thought he was going to be, so he must be shit. Same happened with Wilshere. He had them 2 years where everyone thought he was unreal, and then he came back, didn't reach that level, and it wasn't, he's not world class, it was, he's shit. I think it's a fan's perspective problem, or that's where it started anyway. Liam, anything to add on that?
I absolutely agree with you, if I'm honest, but I also think the formation that we're playing at the moment doesn't suit him at all, and I don't think that's helping his cause. I've said before, time and time again, that he doesn't have this USP. He's not really a holding defensive midfielder, but he's not an attacking midfielder. But this 4-2-3-1 that we're playing, you need to be either defensive or you need to be the number 10. So I think that's part and parcel of the reason he's not playing at the moment.
My question to you, and I think I know what you're going to say, but I don't agree with you, which is why I bring it up. What formation does suit him, in your opinion? You say that doesn't, and I agree with you. What do you think does?
Yeah, I think you know what I'll say. 4-3-3.
Yeah,
left side of the of Torreira in the single pivot.
Do you think he's good enough then to take out, like, who creates in that team essentially?
In that team, I think you look to your fullbacks. I compare it to Liverpool, who are an exceptional team, but their creativity comes from their fullbacks. The midfield is the workhorse. The fullbacks that are bombing forward and creating those chances.
Where I see exactly where you're coming from. Where I disagree with you is, if you look at Liverpool, 9 times out of 10, it's Henderson, Fabinho, and one other. And when the fullbacks go, one covers left back, one covers. So Henderson will cover left back if Robertson goes. Fabinho does the opposite on the other side. If you're saying Guendouzi on the left, if Tierney, Kolasinac, Saka, whoever's playing at left back, would you trust him to cover that side? Because I don't.
No, that's the difficulty.
So this is where I'm saying, I knew your answer would be 4-3-3. I don't see that he fits any formation, which is my problem with him.
Yeah,
it's not, my problem isn't his ability. It's not his ability at all. It's that I don't see where you... I can't picture a formation where I think, yes, that's him, that's it, that's where he does, that's where he plays.
No, I knew where you were going with it as well, but this is why I go to the thing where it says he needs a USP. He needs to either learn to be the guy that's the driver, like Ramsey and somewhat Willock at the moment, who tries to get into the box late, or he needs to do an Ozil and try and find key passes, or he just needs to do Xhaka and just sit back and do the dirty work.
Yeah,
but he doesn't really do any of them.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. That's it for questions. So I think we're done. I don't think I've missed anything.
So we've only got a couple of days rest, and it's nice easy fix to Manchester United. The only good thing I'll say about the Manchester United coming around so quickly is they're pretty shit against teams in the lower half.
We said that about Chelsea. This maybe just sounds super negative, and I actually said it when we was 1-0 up yesterday. I don't give us a chance against United. The squad's so small. They put in so much yesterday. obviously United got an extra day turnaround than us. I can't see us getting anything. I think they'll beat us quite comfortably, to be honest.
Liam?
I agree. I think we'll go on to try and impose ourselves on them, and they'll hit us time and time again on the counter, a bit like they did to City.
I think it's a bit worrying, is the same situation we've got. We've got no fullbacks. I don't know if there's any news on anyone coming back, but they've been playing very, you know, with a lot of width. And you see Martial and Rashford going down that left-hand side. It just worries me. I think they're going to hit us. They're going to target those areas. But unlike you two, I'm going in positive. I think we'll beat them 5-0. Anything else?
No, that's it from me.
Well, we nearly kept it under an hour and a half, which is good going. Anything else you want to bring up, Liam?
30-something questions done.
Yeah.
No, nothing else for me.
Well, let's just hope that we need something, don't we? We just need a break. We need something to go for us. We need a VAR decision to go our way, or an own goal, or something just freakish to happen to get a 1-0 win, however it happens, own goal, just something that's just going to turn our season around. Because what is it, 1 win in 12, something like that?
Oh, I don't even want to know.
I think 1 in 15, I think I read earlier.
Yeah, I think Premier League it's 1 in 12, and I think all competitions it might be even more. It's a long time since we've won at home as well, isn't it? It's early part of November, was it?
So Vitória in the Europa League, in the league, I think it was Bournemouth on the 6th of October, I think.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, long time, relegation form. All right, let's wrap it up. Thanks for coming on, Tony.
No worries.
Liam?
Thank you, my pleasure.
And we'll be back to argue, I guess, in a couple of days' time. I've got to go to work this week, so I might not be about, but so I'm sure Tez will be back to do that. If not, I'll speak to you all. Have a wonderful New Year's Eve. Have a wonderful New Year's Day when we bash up Manchester United. And we will talk to you all very soon.